Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke, if you would, please, as we continue our way through this New Testament gospel. The book of Luke will be in chapter 14, and we'll be looking at the parable of the Great Supper. A parable, of course, is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And Christ gave many parables. His desire, of course, was to instruct the followers and to bring the lost to the Savior. And that was his desire, to warn them and to let them know that there is a right and proper way of life. Shall we stand together? The book of Luke chapter 14 and verse 16 is where we'll begin. Luke 14 and verse 16, the parable of the Great Supper. And it says, "Then said he unto them, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them which were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they, all with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the invitation. We pray, Lord, that we have all accepted. We pray, Lord, that all has made ready their opportunity to be at the supper. Lord, we pray now that your will be done in this morning service. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Dr. James Smith writes in Handfuls on Purpose concerning this parable. The certain man represents our Heavenly Father. The servants are the workers of the kingdom. The supper refers to the blessings and privileges provided for men in the sacrifice of God's Son. The many are the Jews who received the first invitation and who had been advised a long time before of the coming Messiah. I quote to you Acts 1:8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." A sister verse with that would be Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." The excuses are the silly objections brought by them against Jesus and his claims. The poor and the halt and the maimed are the publicans and sinners among whom both Jew and Gentile who accepted the invitation. Those compelled to come in from the highways and hedges are the strangers afar off who had no hope. Those who shall never taste of this supper are the unbelieving Jews and Gentiles. Notice it says there in verse 1, "Then said he unto them," or unto him, "A certain man made a great supper." If you were going to some place with a great supper, you do realize there would be certain things that would be there. T-bone steak, prime rib. Wouldn't you agree those would be good beginnings? Yeah, keep going. That's right. I tell you what, there'd be nice potatoes, a good salad, not those weeds that so many times people have now. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, good salad. I tell you what, there might be some chili. Doesn't that sound good? There would be things that would not be there. We know that Brussels sprouts would not be at a great supper. Do I hear an amen? Amen. There would be no Brussels sprouts. There would be no lima beans and no peas. None of those would be at the great supper. Yes? That's right. No, they would not be there. A great supper. You know, there are three reasons to come to the supper. Three reasons. Number one, come, for all things are now ready. All the preparations are complete. There was a plan, there was a list, and everything has gone according to plan. All things are ready. In our spiritual walk, all things are ready for us to come to the Lord. A substitute has been provided. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ would die for sins. All things are now ready. We can stand before the God of the universe covered by the blood. Aren't you glad you don't have to stand before the God of the universe by yourself with your good works? You say, well, I've been a good person. It isn't good enough. We know that sin separates, but only the sacrifice of which Dr. Mark talked about earlier, only that sacrifice of Jesus Christ will provide a way of salvation. We find all things are now ready. Salvation is available, and it's to all. Aren't you glad that you can know the Lord as your personal Savior? The word salvation is the great inclusive word of the gospel, gathering into itself all the redemptive acts and processes as justification, redemption, grace, propitiation, forgiveness, sanctification, glorification, salvation. May I say this, salvation is in three tenses. First, the believer has been saved from the guilt and penalty of sin. Aren't you glad that you don't have to pay for your sins if Jesus Christ is your Savior? I tell you what, our thought life would be enough to send us to hell. The fact that we have lusted after the wrong things, that we have greed, the fact that we have hatred or frustration, and it would send us to hell, but God has saved us through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Second, the believer is being saved from the habit and dominion of sin. Satan can tempt you to sin. He cannot make you sin. Did you catch what I said? He cannot make you sin. Sin is a choice. And with the Lord on our side, we can be victorious. And the third thought about salvation is that the believer is to be saved from the presence of sin. Can you imagine living in a world where there is no sin? How many of you have ever taken a cruise? You've taken a cruise. Maybe to Alaska, Hawaii, maybe you've gone to the Caribbean or Norway. When my wife and I took a cruise to Alaska for our 35th anniversary, it was our 35th, right? Our 35th anniversary. May I ask you this, was there sin on that cruise ship? I mean, we were going to Alaska, the final frontier, isn't it? Well, is there sin? Yes. May I say this? You're taking a cruise to Hawaii. Would there be sin on that cruise ship? Absolutely. See, as long as we're in this world, there's going to be sin. You know, there are cruise ships where they have Christian preachers and music on that cruise ship. Would there be sin on that one too? Yeah, unfortunately, yes. See, as long as we're in this body, we'll be sinful. But there's a place that's coming, or we're going to go there. There'll be no sin. Can you imagine going to some type of meeting in heaven, and there'll be no sin? Nobody will say, I sure hope he hurries up. I'm sick and tired of listening to him. And nobody will say, look what she's wearing. I can't believe she bought that. Didn't she look in the mirror before she bought that? Oh, nobody's ever said that in here? You see, well, there'll be no more sin. Third, under all things are now ready, peace is made available through the removal of guilt. We don't live in a world that's full of peace right now, do we? We've got problems all over. Maybe the Lord's coming back today, folks. I tell you what, with the problems going on in Israel and that area of the world, the problems in Iraq, the problems in the Ukraine, the problems in the Crimea, we have problems. And that doesn't remove the problems with North Korea and Afghanistan and other places of the world. What we need is the Lord Jesus Christ, and what is happening is society is saying, we don't want Jesus Christ. We'll find peace some other way. There isn't peace any other way than through Jesus Christ. In that threefold reason for coming, one is all things are now ready. The second one, all classes, all groups of people are invited. Romans 5, 9 informs us that people will be redeemed from all kindreds, tongues, people, and nations. We know that Jesus loves the little children of the world. His desire is that we come to know Christ as Savior. Matthew 28, 19 gives the command to go into all nations and invite them to come. The missionaries that are going to be with us going to the Philippines, they happen to be Filipinos, and they have returned to their homeland. Come and be with us as Genesis. I like that name. Genesis and Jenny Karangian are with us. They'll bless your heart. They'll bless your soul. Be with us this Wednesday. All are invited, but not all will come. In fact, our Lord said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? How hardly shall they that have riches? We live in a rich society. Yet how many people are interested in the Lord? We could add other thoughts. How hardly are those who have fame, or have good looks, or have education. They struggle with the Lord. But all are invited. None will have excuses. We note the four classes of people that are invited: the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. The poor represent those that are searching for pleasure, begging for something to satisfy them and getting nothing. Constantly looking for pleasure. The maimed, they are represented by those who are helplessly addicted to the vices of society. Tobacco, alcohol, drugs, gambling, immorality, materialism, humanism, evolution. They're maimed by these addictions and false teachings. The halt. These try to appear all right, trying to hide their doubts and depressions, always trying to act like everything will be okay, putting up walls. You know, we live in a world of self-denial, they are denying their true needs. We live in a world of enablers, enabling people to misbehave and to act improperly. Then the blind, those who can walk pretty straight but are in the blackness of darkness, and their consciences, and they are unconscious of their true danger. And yet we are to invite them to come to the house of God. We find the threefold reason. One was come, for all things are ready. Come, all classes are invited. And number three, come, for yet there is room. Yet there is room. I would like to say this. I wish that our auditorium was full this morning. You need to pray for your pastor, because right now he's about that close to a major pity party. Okay? Have any of you ever had a pity party? I tell you what, I'm about that close. You could send me over the edge very quickly. Okay? In fact, this morning I thought, you know, we ought to just go over to the other auditorium this morning. That was my thought. I'm just thinking, man, where is everybody? And I think to myself, hey, there is room. Why won't people come? I was out in visitation yesterday in between the rain, and I stopped in a man's house and invited him to come. And he says, I'll be there. I mean, I had hardly said, I want to invite you to come. He said, I'll be there. You know, I wish that everybody that said that would come, that said they would come. You know, we find that people have 101 excuses for not coming. There's room. There's room. I doubt, Dad, during the time you were pastor here, you ever met anybody by the door and said, hey, there's no room, you can't come in. You'd have added a chair, right? You'd have added a chair. We'd add chairs. I think it'd be great. There is room. There is room in the Father's love. His love just grows. There's room in the Savior's atoning death. He died so he could save as many as it will come. There's room in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He will use all. But reservations can only be accepted while we are alive. Once we're dead, there is no going from hell into heaven. It's now or never. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Come. But just as there's a threefold reason to come, there are threefold excuses for not coming. Verse 18. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. My dad once told me that an excuse is the skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. And we hear excuses all the time as to why people don't come to church. And it says, the first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. The number one reason is I have something else to do. May I say this? There are many who are going to entertain their children right into the pit of hell, because they don't take time to make sure that their children know of Jesus Christ. We need to make sure that our children, our grandchildren, and you that have great-grandchildren, that they know about Jesus Christ. Note, he had bought land unseen, and he refuses the invitation to come and dine. The question has been asked, why is it that men must needs go and see after their earthly possessions and not have time to look at the provision God hath made for their eternal safety and inheritance? Certainly there are many things in the world to be seen, but what can be compared to the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? Number two, we find in verse 19, and another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. So how many oxen has he bought? 10. He's bought 10 oxen. And he says there, and I go to prove them, I pray thee, have me excused. I have something else to do. I have somewhere else to go. I have something else to do. You know, there's all kinds of things you can do instead of being in the house of God. You know, there was a day and age, and how many of you remember this? When Lakeside Mall was built, it was closed on Sunday. Do you remember that? It was closed on Sunday. And then when it began to open, it was open at 1 o'clock. Boy, now they don't care. It's a competition for the church. You know, we go and do so many things. How important it is that we do the right thing. This man who refused to come was more anxious to prove the oxen than to prove the riches of the kingly offer. How many have pierced themselves through with many sorrows and erred from the faith due to their greed and covetousness? And then let's read verse 20. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. I have something else to enjoy. May I say this? I'm always bothered by those who can't come to church because their mate won't go with them. May I say this? Come to church and pray for your mate that they will come to know the Lord as Savior. Well, why not bring your wife with you to the supper? Note, there may be no sin in marrying a wife or in buying land or oxen, but if the affections of the heart are so centered on these that the gospel of God's grace is ignored, don't be surprised that the end result will be hell. When we put other things in front of our Lord, don't be surprised if we aren't receiving the blessings of God. The lost says, I don't need the Lord, and they go their merry way. Sometimes the saved says, I'm saved, but that's all I need, and they miss the blessings of God. May I say this, God wants to bless us, but he will not force his blessings upon us. In conclusion, now don't say amen, but in conclusion, number one, God will not be mocked. God will not be mocked. If we refuse him now, he will refuse us later. If we are ashamed of him, he will be ashamed of us. They shall not enjoy the blessings of the Heavenly Father. How many of you have heard this said? Well, I can't believe that a loving God would send anybody to hell. Would you raise your hand? You've heard them say that. May I say this? God does not send us to hell. What sends us to hell? Our sins. Our sins send us to hell. Sin separates us. God has provided a redeemer. He has provided one that will save us. But we must decide to be saved. We must decide. No man has ever yet been able to form a God-satisfying excuse for not accepting his Son as their Savior. May I say this, that when we are there at the judgment, someone will not be able to say, well, I didn't come the way of Christ, I came some other way, and be allowed into heaven. Jesus said, I am the way. There is no other way. Works will not get us into heaven. For we are not saved by works. We're saved by grace through faith. It is you God invites, not your excuses. For they will never stand up in your defense. Shall we stand together? An invitation song, 403, will be sung. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. I don't know where you are in your walk of life. We don't know if we have a week, a month, a year, a decade still to live. But we better be ready when the alarm goes off to call us to our death. The Lord's desire is that you will come to Him. And as we sing this song, if you'd like to make things right with God, the altar is here. If you'd like to pray by yourself, you can. If you'd like someone to pray with you, please let it be known. We'd be glad to have someone pray with you. But here you can get things right with the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask now that you would bless this invitation time. And Lord, we know that we are compelled to bring them in so that the house may be full. Give us a burden, Lord. Give us a desire. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.